new, whatever, week to week, state to state. We don't ever know what we're coming into, but I know this. It's good to be out on the road. Good to be here tonight. We've looked forward to this since we left last year. I don't say that everywhere. Do I? Well, it's good to be saved. Good to be on the road. And we love you guys. One of the tests, I've determined, I'm no scientist. Don't amen that, Brother Riggs. But if you think you might be having COVID symptoms, my theory is eat a piece of bacon. If you can't taste that, might as well stay home because you're sick. Amen. But now people ask if her and I, how we're doing. So here's my answer. Either we both had it last February. We had a big meeting in Florida. The last day I got fever. I got sick. I couldn't move for 4 days. And I rejoiced that I had a week between meetings. I usually don't. Usually just have a couple of days to travel. I said, isn't God wonderful? He knew that if I needed a week, I didn't have to cancel anything. But I said, he also knows I got to leave on Friday. I got to drive 500 miles and I got to start another 6-day meeting. Well, you would call that a revivalette. Amen. That's the second longest meeting we do. And we got back in the saddle and went on. I was sick the first day. She made fun of me because I'm laying in the motorhome and she went to church and I'm sick, right? Next day, God got her back. Amen. And then she got it. Now, we didn't know anything about COVID or corona. We didn't know anything about that yet. That came within a couple of weeks. So I don't know if we had it. We haven't had it since. I don't know. I don't have. My brain just, I can't worry about all that. I didn't live in fear when I was lost. I don't know how to now. I don't want to know. My Bible says he's not giving us the spirit of fear. So I'm just glad to be saved. This mask thing's interesting. This reminds me now, we got pulled off the road abruptly in the middle of March. We spent 2 months at home. Well, almost, because they're having a graduation at a Bible school 800 miles away, and I got on my motorcycle and I rode down there just to get out of the house. And it's easy to social distance on a motorcycle. If a car starts getting close, you just twist the throttle a little bit. Amen. And, but we came back. The first meeting was up in upstate New York, and it reminds me of this, because the seats, they had chairs like this. The seats were spread out, and you had to walk from the car. This is New York State. Man, that's what's got me so confused, because therefore I thought I was in Texas. But you had to walk from the car into the church, through the foyer, to your spot. And once you got your spot, you could take your mask off. Amen. So I said, okay, whatever we got to do. We'll do what we got to do. This is nothing. Christians, this is nothing. So we got our place. And then this is a church. And they traditionally, like a lot, not all, our church doesn't pass a plate, but some do. And this church, they had ushers come. 4 ushers march up to the front. And they all had masks on. The ushers are going row by row, so they have a mask. That's understandable for the circumstance, but it kind of hit me, struck me kind of funny, and when that was over, I got, and I said, you know, when I was lost, I used to take up offerings with a mask on, and it was illegal. This is crazy. I'm glad I'm saved. Take your Bible tonight, go to Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, I was telling Brother Lindell, I said, you know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I'm no great spiritual giant, don't claim to be, but I got a Bible. God gave me a Bible. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know this as an evangelist now 24 years, full time. I know where we have the liberty that comes from the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. I can sense it. I'm going to come do my job. Doesn't matter. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know everything that's going on. That's not my job to worry about that, judge that. But I know this. Every time I've come here since 2013, there has been great liberty. Amen. To preach. And from my standpoint, it doesn't get any better than that. So when I say we really enjoy coming, we're glad to be here, I really mean it. Because for a preacher, and the fellowship's great, and you guys are very encouraging, and you've always been kind to us. But for a preacher, it doesn't get any better than the liberty that comes. So if the COVID didn't run that off, we can have a meeting. Amen. Might even do some shouting. Amen. Feel free to shout at home. Where's the camera? Amen. Let me say this. I was at a church in Kentucky, and part of the deal, they did parking lot church. When we pulled in, they were back in the building, but they had a ladder out on the porch with a sign. I think it said 87.9, and that's an FM, whatever. And what they explained was there's still people. They would stand on the porch and transmit, but there were still people that were reluctant to come for whatever reason. That's their business. But they came and sat in the parking lot. They didn't come in. They didn't sit at home and, you know, eat potato chips during church. I hope you're not. Get dressed, for goodness sakes. Amen. And so people are still doing that. So then while we're just the idea of people sitting around in their pajamas during church, I got a problem with that. I don't know what the deal is. And so people would, they would, if in lieu of an amen, if they're out in the parking lot, people were honking their horns. I thought that was cool. I said, feel free to honk, 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 honk. They're honking. And so then I preached that night. And so then I addressed the people out in the parking lot from the pulpit, and they had them flashing their lights and honking their horn. It was a lot of fun. Christians can have a good time in spite of what's going on. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Matthew 22. Like I said, let's pick it up. Verse 34. Well, that's called breaking the ice. I'm ready to preach now. All right. Matthew 22 and verse 34, and it says this, and when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Of course, the heat, that's him. That's who we're talking about. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees, they were gathered together. Verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, I find it interesting that the Spirit of God made a point to say that. You know, if you spent as much money in your life on lawyers as I have, you'd get an extra kick when the Lord embarrasses them. Amen. I like that. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying. Now, let me say this. The Lord has no problem with you asking him a question. Amen. But he knows your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. My what? Help me out. My, yes. Thank you. And so the Bible makes it clear for us that his attitude was to try to trip the Lord up. How dumb is that? Maybe Christians should quit trying it, because it's still dumb 2,000 years later. Amen. And it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Then it says this, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't ask for the second commandment. You know what? When you ask the Lord a question, you might get more than you bargained for. Amen. But our point tonight, where we're going to get our message, is off verse 40, where the Lord said this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That makes them pretty important. Doesn't it? It says, and both those commandments have to do with love. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. So I'm going to title this message with an apology to all you Beatle fans. The title would be All You Need Is Love. Now, if you're listening for home, don't go dig your albums out. Amen. And you, when you get home, don't. Amen. But the Bible says a lot about love. Amen. And rightfully so. It's very important. It says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Again, very important. So let me give you, just by way of introduction, there's some right things to love. Right things to love, and Brother Brian quoted the verse, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. If he wouldn't have, we wouldn't even. The only definition that we would have of love is the common perception that the world has that it's some kind of emotional, touchy feel. But this is way beyond that. The love that God had for us that caused him to give his only begotten son is incomprehensible. But I'll tell you what, if not now, so you don't have to comprehend it, but you ought to love him for it. And we love him because he first loved us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible says this, but if any man love God, if I ask for a show of hands right now, do you love God? Probably everybody in here raise their hand. Amen. Maybe we'll get some cars honking on the parking lot. I don't know. But that's a common response. Do you love God? But the book says, if you do, it'll be what you're known for. And if I was to go to where you work or where you live or where you go to school and ask people about you, what would they say? Would anybody say, they love God? Well, that's what we're supposed to be known for. Amen. It's right to love Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter 8 and verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Amen. I mean, he nailed them. Amen. If God were your father, you'd love me. Listen, God's my father, and I can say without hesitation tonight that I love Jesus Christ. I don't understand to this day. I turned 30 in the Lord just 2 months ago, and I don't understand why he loves me, but I know this, I love him. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 and 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha, accursed. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, we're talking about right things to love. The Bible says a lot about love. The right thing to love, it's right to love God. It's right to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's right. I tell you something else, husbands, it's right for you to love your wives. Yes, thank you, Mrs. Wonderful. It says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And then it gets specific. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's not a card on sweetest day once a year. Amen. That's not a smooch on the way out. That's sacrificial love, man. You're supposed to love your wife as Christ also loved the church. Amen. And like I say, ladies, amen that. But it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, in the context is the older women teaching the younger that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and love their children. That, you gotta be taught that? Doesn't it seem like that come natural? Amen. Maybe, but boy, I'll tell you what's natural now. And according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Bible says, what does the Bible say? I knew I had it right on the tip of my tongue. Amen. I'll get it before I get there. I told you it happens every time. Without natural affection. We live in a day and age in the last days where peril of attention comes, that things that are natural, things that are normal, we have to be taught, we have to learn. Let me tell you something natural these days is love yourself. Amen. Me first. We live in a me first generation. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy 3, 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And, you know, to address that, a verse that, I mean, nailed me one day, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3, Paul wrote, and he wrote it to a church, but I think I used it at a marriage conference. Can you believe anybody asked Dave Spurgeon to a marriage conference? That's as crazy, I saw that. And that's as crazy as asking me to teach Sunday school. I mean, I've been saved about 5 years, and they asked me to be a Sunday school teacher, and I thought, boy, we never saw that coming. Amen. It says, let nothing be done through strife. and glory, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen. No, it isn't me first. It isn't you first. We're supposed to esteem others better. Amen. Again, that's written to a church. What kind of church problems would you ever have to have if we'd get a hold of that? Yes. Amen. What kind of marriage problems would there be if a husband and wife could get a hold of that? Amen. Putting the other first. Instead, I mean, arguments are because, well, I want this, and that's nothing, strife or vainglory. Strife and vainglory. Vainglory is pride. That's where, only by pride cometh contention. That's where the fights come from. Amen and amen. All right, so if the love of your husband, the love of your children came natural, that verse wouldn't have been necessary. But it is necessary. It's still necessary. We're talking about the right things to love. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul wrote this after he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I don't know about you, but what I can see through all this COVID fog is that it looks to me like the Lord's coming back, and not just the COVID, but everything that's going on in politics, everything, it just looks like it's time for us to put, Brother Ruckman used to say, put your seat tables and your tray seat backs and tray tables in an upright position, because we're getting ready to fly. I'm ready. I'm ready to take off. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I want to take somebody with me. I'm not worried about him coming back as much as making sure I'm ready when he does. Amen. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found busy about the Lord's business. Amen. And so there's some things. The Bible says a lot about love. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. There's some wrong things to love, too. The Bible addresses some of them. First John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean that. But if you fall in love with this world or the things of this world, you'll never have the right love toward God. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, all your strength. Mark said, you'll never have the right love for your neighbor. And we'll get to that. Amen. If the things of this world settle in right there, amen, you'll never fulfill those two commandments. Amen. That's why John admonishes the Christian to love not the world. It says this in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Could I tell you, darkness is the wrong thing to love. And people ask me sometimes, they say, Brother Spurgeon, do you ever run into the old crowd, you know, and all them years in the bike gangs and all that? And they asked me that many years ago. And my first thought was this. I said, well, actually, I don't. First of all, it really is this simple. I know how they think. It's easy for me to avoid them. They have no idea how I think. Amen, because they're still natural. Amen. But, you know, the Reader's Digest answer to that is, no, I don't run into the old crowd, because when I got saved, I went on days. I mean, I was on the night shift. I mean, for many years. Amen. About the late afternoon, you start plotting what you're going to do. And when we leave, we didn't go come home until the sun came up. I didn't compare us to vampires, but that's kind of what it sounded like. Amen. Amen. I go to bed at a decent hour. I get up at a decent hour. Amen. The only time my old crowd was up at 9 o'clock in the morning is if they were in court. Amen. Which was often for some of them. But praise the Lord, I'm not there either anymore. Amen. It's the wrong thing to love pleasure. said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, lovers of pleasures. These are indicative of the last days, perilous times. Mentioned to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. The headlines, I guess, because it's been a long time since I've had a newspaper in my hand, but I remember back in 2001, I was in Georgia outside of Atlanta, and we had just sent the USS Theodore Roosevelt over to Afghanistan to give them a little payback for 9/11, which I was 100% for. I got to tell you, I was an infantryman in the Army, but just the sound of the word bunker buster, I like that. That's got a ring to it. Where do you get a job designing stuff like that? Amen. I don't know. But I got a newspaper, and we have deployed troops, and we've got a nuclear aircraft carrier strike force over there, and I got it. It was about that thick. It was, what do they call the paper there? The Constipation Journal. No, Constitution Journal. That's Atlanta. Yeah, I gotta stay awake here. So I don't know, I might get the order wrong, who's gonna remember? I mean, the first five pages were about sports. And then the next five pages were about Hollywood. And then after that, it had to do with the Country Music Awards. This was in the fall. Amen. I said, we've got military deployed overseas. We got troops on the ground, and the first 15, 20 pages in a national newspaper that size have to do with entertainment. That's where we live. Amen. And I got all the way back about 2/3 through the newspaper, and that's what I read about bunker busters. Cluster bomb. I don't know what that is, but I like it. Amen. Cluster bomb. We live in a day and age, amen, where people love pleasure. I've got churches, small little churches across the country, and struggling to stay alive, I guess. You know, running 20, 30, sometimes 40, 50 people. And this testimony I hear of it. People come. They're solid King James Bible believers, preaching and teaching the word of truth. Confident that that's what we need, and people will come, stay for a little while, and not even adverse to the Bible. But you know, there's just no activities, and there's nothing for the children to do. Like, they don't need the Bible, right? And people leave, and their church membership and where they settle has to do with activities more than the Word of God. I gotta tell you tonight, that's the wrong reason to find a church. I'm asking God where He'd have you to go. And if you really want to know, and you're really receptive of His answer, just what I've learned about His Bible from reading it, He's going to send you someplace that believes it and preaches it. Other stuff's icing on the cake. It's not the main thing. But we live in a day and age where people love pleasure. Even Christians love pleasure. People love money. Amen. Bible talks about it. The Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say money's evil. I guess we have to point that out in case you're a millionaire. Did we point out the boxes? Okay. But you know what they say about money? They say money talks. Mine does. It says goodbye. Yeah. I mean, my kids are grown. Now I'm going to go into grandkid phase. Amen. And you see them coming, and you know what? They're getting ready to ask for money. I mean, one time I pulled a twenty out of my wallet when one of the kids, and I looked at old Andrew and I said, "Come on," and I, "Yeah, here's some money." Now, if you give them a 20, they'll threaten you or sue you. Amen. There's another saying I heard this when I was little. It said, "Money has no home." I don't know about that for sure. I just know that none lives in my house. Bible says some things about money, and I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's the wrong thing to love. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." And that's what people glory in. And the world says money spells success. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen. Tell you how serious this thing about loving money is. It says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And it becometh unfruitful. That Bible is the single most powerful force on the planet, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And there's a little nugget that says that the deceitfulness of riches and lots of other things will choke the word. I'm trying to stall so that'll stop. Okay? Brother Leno, would you turn your phone off, please?
I don't know how.
Amen. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I ain't been in church near as long as some of you, but I've been at it long enough that I've seen the numbers of Bible believers go down instead of up. And we're getting into the late in the last days and having our love for the right things and not for the wrong things is more important than ever, not less. So, I want to preach it tonight on a simple message. All you need is love. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I hope I never get tired of saying that. I hope it never just becomes just part of the vocabulary out of habit and not out of reality. I thank you for grace. I thank you for allowing my wife in here to come back to see our precious friends here. And if they get encouraged fractionally as much as they encourage us, it will be a good week. And Father, I pray that you just minister tonight as only you can. Pray your blessings in some way on the folks that are listening, whether they're here or at home. God, however that works, I just thank you for Jesus Christ. And if there's someone within the sound of my voice tonight's not saved, I pray you make it real easy for them to see that they need to get saved, for it's too late. And I pray your blessings upon the service, the message, and all that have sacrificed time to be here. And I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, that was the intro. Amen. Sometimes you have a long intro. Brian's nervous that the message is going to be twice as long as the intro. But it's not. Amen. I already got the message. my watch is on a Hawaiian time zone. No, not really. Back to Matthew 22 and verse 37. My watch is on the wrong time zone a lot, actually. Amen. But verse 37, Matthew 22, whatever I said, this is what I meant. Matthew 22 and verse 37 is, Jesus said to them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So, number one. Number one tonight, simple outline, love the Lord. Love the Lord. It seems fair, amen, for you and I to love the Lord in light of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 that says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. I'm giving you a second just in case anybody feels inclined to say amen there.
Amen.
Thank you. And here's why. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of our love just in light of that. I mean our love with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. Because without him, we wouldn't have any of them. Amen. Wouldn't even exist. I figured this out. If we could learn to love the Lord with all our heart, it'd make it a lot harder to fall in love with the things that break his heart. It says in 3 John verse 4, what does it say? I know the verse by heart. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Amen. I get the context there. John talking about Gaius. I get the correlation between God the Father and a child of God as a parent. I've learned the truth of that. I've learned the truth this too. If there's no greater joy than to hear that your children walk in truth, there's no greater sadness, there's no greater sorrow
to hear your children don't. Amen? You reckon that's the same way with God? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again. If we can learn to love the Lord the way we ought to, if we could learn to love the Lord with all our strength and not just put Him on our list, but all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, it'd be a lot harder to disappoint Him. Aren't you frustrated about how easy the flesh can go astray? Maybe we just need to learn to make a point to keep Him at the top. Amen. We get saved. We're glad to be saved. We're overwhelmed that He would save a wretch like us. And don't ever get over that. Why would you? Because we're still wretches. And without Jesus Christ, we'd still be on our way to hell. And He's worthy of our love. And I don't want to disappoint Him. And I don't want to disappoint my wife. And buddy, it sneaks up on me sometimes. And how much easier is it that we disappoint the Lord? Sometimes maybe not with our physical activities. Maybe it's just attitudes of the heart, our spirit. You know, we get victory over something and we start thinking we're something we're not. And Paul warns us about that. And then it's all reflective in the way we look at other people. Just like that Pharisee in Luke 18. Thank God I'm not as other men are. Outside of the grace of God you are. Amen. All right, so number one. See, that was quick. Love the Lord. That's what the verse says. All your heart, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Second is love. Loving thy neighbor is one thing. If it just said, and the second commandment is love thy neighbor. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're supposed to. But it doesn't. It snuck in two words. Amen. That kind of, that flesh doesn't like. As thyself. And I've learned this about the flesh, my own. The flesh doesn't like competition. Amen. It's easy to say, I love God with all my heart and all my soul. The proof is, there's a lot of things you can say. There's a proof in there, a test. And that's if you love your neighbor as yourself. So then that begs the question, take your Bible, go to Luke 10. That begs the question, who is my neighbor? Well, if that occurred to you to ask that, I mean, just say you're not the first. And we got this lawyer. I just love that. It says, let's pick it up, verse 29. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, you'll either justify God by your actions, by your spirit, by your love, or you'll justify yourself. Amen. Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when we fall in love with God and we go by the book, we justify that sacrifice. And when we come up with, but I think, that's justifying yourself. That's a slap in the face. Amen? So this guy says, what'd he say? And who is my neighbor? Verse 39, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. All right, then he goes through and he reads the passage. Well, we'll read it. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He ignored him. Amen. Probably just pretended like he didn't even see him. Amen. It's a certain priest, so that tells me it's a religious guy. There's a lot of religious people out there. Amen. I don't know what religion he was. I know what he wasn't. Amen. But it looks like he just ignored it from the passage. But then it says, verse 32, and likewise a Levite. Now that's a priest of the right religion. This is a Jew. This is a guy that's familiar with the Old Testament law. Amen. And so he's the right religion, and it says he came to the place and looked on him and passed by. Let me see.
pass by on the other side. So I could see, you know, this guy, there's a ditch on either side, and here this guy's been rolled down in the ditch, beaten up, left for dead, and let's say this religious guy, boy, he doesn't even, he pretends he ignores it. You know, sometimes, kind of like we do, when God presents an opportunity to hand out a gospel tract, but we're busy, or we're just plain chicken. Yeah, and we pretend with, oh, really? I didn't see it, you liar. But I don't know what's worse, because this Levi, he got right down and he looked at it, probably just went through his mind. Wonder what he did. Did God let that happen to him? And didn't help him a bit. Didn't ask him, just kind of just judged him. You know, let me just say it before God and the internet and everybody in here. I've been guilty of that. And the Spirit of God smote my heart. And I don't want to be. I might be out again, but I don't want to be. Because Jesus Christ says to love thy neighbor as thyself. And in response to this guy's question, and who is my neighbor? He gives this parable in verse 33. It says, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This guy's a Samaritan. This guy's a heathen. Amen. Just a common heathen. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, of such were some of you. Amen. And this guy helped him. Started out by having compassion on him. Isn't that a godly attribute? I mean, I think Jesus was mentioned as having compassion a few times. Didn't see that from the religious guys. But the Lord asked the guy in verse 36, Luke 10, he said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. He had the right answer, didn't he? He that showed mercy on him. I don't know about you, but the Lord sure showed a lot of mercy on me. You know, there's a lot of people might not have been in this guy's condition as far as beat up and robbed and left for dead and laying in a ditch. But, buddy, every one of us was on our way to a ditch, a flaming ditch, an eternal ditch. It says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you just can't get away from the fact that they both have to do with love. I know, there's churches that I go to, they don't like that. If you talk about love, you know, they'll equate you with one of these other crowds, you know, the kumbaya. Okay, all right, think what you want, but how do you get around all the times it's mentioned in the book? Amen. I'm not trying to force my, I don't even, what's the word? My ideas on what I believe. I want to find out what God wants me to know. Amen. Pretty clear. The first two commandments, that hang all the law and the prophets, both have to do with love. That tells me that the right kind of love for the right things is all you need. And a lot of things will begin to fall into place on their own, and a lot of issues Christians get bogged down with wouldn't be issues if we could get this down. Amen? Amen? Okay. Now, so, all you need is love. Number one, love the Lord. Number two, love your neighbor. We have an obvious problem here. I'm an evangelist. No evangelist only has a two-point message. There's only two commandments. First and second, what do? We go to John 13, that's what we do. Brian was thinking, all right, I'm going to get, not quite yet. John chapter 13 and verse 34. And again, it's the Lord speaking. And he says this, a new commandment. He knew I was going to need one. A new commandment I give unto you. And sure enough, the thing says that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Third commandment has to do with love too. So let me say, love the Lord, love your neighbor, love one another. You know what the atheists say? The atheists say, and try to convince others that God is not real. Let me tell you something. The best proof that he is, look at the next verse. Verse 35 says, the context is loving one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one another. You know what the greatest witness to a lost and dying world is? That when Christians treat each other the way we're supposed to. Amen. There's plenty of nice people out there in the world. There's people that are gracious and everything. But, I mean, across the board, man, again, the rule of thumb is me first. Amen. And if there's any left over, I'll be nice to you. But Jesus said, sacrificially, you treat within the family of God, within the body of Christ, you treat one another the way I treated you. Go out of your way, make the sacrifice. And you'll stand out like a sore thumb, and this world will be inclined to ask a reason of you that's, of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so we need to love one another. Amen. I'm often asked as we travel around, you know, Brother Spurgeon, what do you see out there? I'll tell you what I see. I came up this one year. A whole lot of Christians have a motorcycle gang mentality. Now, maybe I see that because that was my life for many, many years. But what are you talking about? Well, in the old days, I mean, all the different clubs looked the same and did the same things and all professed the like things. But if one wasn't wearing another one's colors, yeah, they were inferior. We'd look down on them. Amen. Or even worse, we made enemies out of them. And here we are. Wait a minute. We all like riding. We all like partying. We all like... And here, this lost and dying world is looking at Christianity across the board. And they're watching us bite and devour and eat each other alive. Amen. And they're going, that ain't no different than every... And we're supposed to be different. Amen. I got some news for you. Elitism is a sin. It cuts both ways. I know people that are proud of what they are and people that are proud of what they're not. And I'm not finding pride showing up anywhere very good. Don't lose that. We will be going home. Amen. So, all you need is love tonight. Romans chapter 8. Go there. Romans chapter 8. Here's where I'd say, I'm almost done. I don't know why do we say that, preacher. I don't even know. Amen. I got a list of questions. I'm going to run by Brother Lindell. So, amen. Romans chapter 8. We're talking about loving the Lord tonight. And it says this in verse 38. Paul wrote, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the what? Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And I mean, he really makes it pretty clear. I mean, he's got just about everything he could think of on the list, huh? Everything the Holy Spirit thought was important. And it says nothing can separate it. Isn't that a blessing? That alone makes the devil a stinking liar and most religionists too. And he proved it, didn't he? He proved his love on Calvary. It says in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. And they didn't kill him. He laid it down. He laid it down for you and I. He laid it down because he loved us. And I'm here to tell you, he's worthy of our love. He's worthy of it. Amen. With all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. But he won't force himself on you. He's worthy of it. And let me just say, as I wrap this thing up, we need to be honest with ourselves tonight. You here, you at home, be honest with yourself. And if there's anything that has creeped into first place in your life, good, bad, or ugly, it's time to address that thing. You want to have a meeting this week? You want God to meet with us? You want God to be pleased with us? Listen, I know you guys long enough to know you don't need another 10 days of meetings any more than I do. But I need this. I need God. I need God to speak, to show up, to manifest himself. Like I say, we get our batteries charged by coming here because it's just real. We just keep it real. And I don't want anything to get in the way of that. I don't want any attitude to get in the way of that. I sure don't want any sin to get in the way of that. I don't want, you know what? You know, people get saved, they get fired up, and then the cares of this life, and the Lord addresses them. Things creep in, and truth be known, you know, here he is, he's number one, but we got that house payment, and we got that job, or we got that kid, and you know, maybe truth be known, he's maybe two or three or four. And he's still there, and we still love him. Time to get him back where he belongs. Time to get him back in first place. That's the first and great commandment. We get a hold of that, the other stuff falls into place. It really does. So we're preaching on loving the Lord tonight. And what kind of meeting that we have here this week has to do, not with anything I'm going to say, it's going to have to do with how seriously we take what the Holy Spirit impresses you with, your spirit with, how you respond to it, how you act to it. And if you come in going, well, let's see what this guy's got, you're going to be disappointed. Amen? But you can have as much God as you want. Amen? All right, you can stand. Let's stand. If you're able, and brother whoever, one of these guys is going to come, Brother Brian is going to come and kind of work through this invitation, however you see fit. You got the message. Yep. Let's love him more. He's worthy of it. Amen. Amen.